The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. Thank God. It is Friday, right, Rich? We made it?
All day long.
All day long, Friday. You know, I don't live on a clock or a calendar anymore, except for 3 p.m. And then I know it's time to come and sit in front of this microphone and do this greatest radio show ever, at least we hope. Dom back on Monday from his European vacation. Can't wait to hear the stories. But what he has been missing is a food fight. And I mean, like a food fight in the Wisconsin State Senate. And also in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to accentuate the chaos, the food fight going on in the Congress currently. But let's start in our backyard. I'm one block away from Wisconsin's beautiful capital and the action therein. Now, I would point out, this is a couple days old, but I want you to know, you know, save these for Fridays, how it's going on over at the state capitol. Coverage from the Capitol Times. The Wisconsin Senate was scheduled to consider overturning nearly three dozen of Governor Tony Evers' vetoes, but managed to only override nine before the rejection of a Democratic resolution devolved into shouting and sent the floor session to an abrupt adjournment. We're done here. Gotta go. The Senate override of those nine vetoes doesn't mean the bills automatically become law, however. The Assembly still needs to hold a successful veto override before the laws are enacted. This remains unlikely, as Assembly Republicans do not have the two-thirds supermajority necessary to overturn vetoes. And with new, and as an aside, with new fairer maps, let's pray to God they never get that two-thirds of override authority. Now, Senate Republicans voted to override several vetoes from the governor on the issues of PFAW mitigation funding, election audits, rural hospital funding, and teacher apprenticeship programs, among several others. These bills were identified on Monday as priorities by Senate leadership. Governor Evers vetoed bills that would have ensured access to health care in the Chippewa Valley and address PFAS contamination statewide. For months, the legislature has taken steps to get these crucial funds into communities that need them. Governor Evers has unilaterally stopped these crisis funds from helping Wisconsin families. Now, this is the quote from Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, Republican from Utsburg. He said that in a written statement following the floor session, overriding the governor's obstructive vetoes is the last best way to address these critical issues. If only you had the power, LeMahieu. Now, Democrats, as is written here at the Cap Times, had other thoughts. At the end of the day, the majority gets their way, said Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein, a Democrat from Middleton. She was invited on the show, but had conflicts. But the idea with democracy is that the minority party gets their say. And by cutting off debate and not letting privilege resolutions see the light of day, well, as Dianne Hesselbein describes it, my senator, it's just shameful. Hesselbein tried to bring forward such a resolution to call for a vote on a group of bills that passed the Assembly earlier this session were never taken up by the Senate. Her resolution was ruled out of order You're out of order. The agenda for the Senate session only included, only vetoes the Republicans wanted to override. That's our only purpose here. Otherwise, you're out of order. This whole interruption is out of order. And a vote on the assembly bills was not allowed. Now, that could have actually changed something. If you had allowed senatorial votes on a number of past assembly bills, there could have actually been laws enacted. But this kabuki theater before what? Next year's Fair Maps Challenge? This kabuki theater, folks, this has no end because the assembly doesn't have the votes to overturn the Evers vetoes. So to what in LeMahieu? And of course, when the Democrats try to bring any of the assembly bills to the floor, say, what about this good legislation that we have bipartisan support? Hell no. Now, Senator Tim Carpenter, a Democrat from Milwaukee, challenged the rejection, again, the rejection of the minority leader's resolution and was silenced by Senate President Chris Kapinga, Democrat, Republican from Delafield. It almost looks like D-bag, but it's Delafield. And the session soon fell into chaos. What vetoes were overridden and what happens next? They ask at the Cap Times. Floor debate over funding for PFAS mitigation took up the most time on any given bill before the Senate Tuesday morning. Now, the money is already there. It's just releasing the money. Here's more. The funding itself has been previously approved in the past budget. But earlier this session, Republicans passed a bill to create a regulatory framework for how the money could be spent. The money, which remains mired in partisan fighting until the Joint Finance Committee decides otherwise, would go towards cleanup efforts at sites across the state that have been contaminated by the family of forever chemicals known as PFAS. You hear us talk about them sometimes. Now, Evers said the proposal passed through the legislature along party lines let contaminators off the hook too easily and vetoed the measure. Republicans said small farmers who discovered PFAS on their property shouldn't get hit with the costs for something that might not have directly contributed to, meaning can't afford to clean up a mess that wasn't of their creation. See if I got that straighter. Now, Senator Eric Wimberger, Republican from Green Bay, accused Evers of cruel demagoguery. That's his quote. Cruel demagoguery when it came to the veto of the bill. Meanwhile, Democrats slammed the Republican-led Joint Finance Committee for sitting on the funding for the past several months. What is the greater crime, sir? Anyways, let's read on. There is $125 million sitting in the Joint Finance Committee waiting to be directed, pointed out Senator Chris Larson. I prefer him, a Democrat from Milwaukee. Now, Republicans in the Senate also voted to override vetoes from Evers on how funding for rural hospitals in western Wisconsin should be spent, a requirement to list U.S. citizen status on voter registration list, a state-set population limit for gray wolves, which have been identified as a federal judge as a protected species, and changes in the framework for teacher apprenticeship programs, among others, it says here. Now, the funding for hospitals would go to help financially struggling medical facilities in the Chippewa Valley to remain open. In recent months, a number of hospitals have closed, leaving those areas without accessible medical care. Can you imagine that? I mean, if I was the congressman from the 3rd CD, if I was Derek Van Orden, this would be an everyday issue for me. If I was, a state lawmaker and I gave a damn about the constituents here in the state of Wisconsin, lack of accessible health care in the Chippewa Valley, that's a big area, man. We're talking Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. Those two adjacent areas lost two hospitals. And what is the solution? Kabuki theater and chaos. As they write here, in recent months, a number of hospitals have closed, leaving those areas, again, the Chippewa Fall, Eau Claire area, without accessible medical care. The governor used his line item veto power on the funding bill to expand how and where the money could be spent, while Republicans wanted a smaller regional area to get relief funds and use it only for emergency departments. So you only get emergency care. They don't want to fund the hospitals, just the emergency rooms. The likelihood that any of the vetoes, again, the Kabuki Theater, they're playing down at the Senate earlier this week, the likelihood that any of the vetoes overridden by the Senate will result in enacted laws remain slim. Slim, yeah. Like I'm slim. While Republicans in the Senate have a two-thirds supermajority required for a veto override, GOP lawmakers in the Assembly don't have the required ranks. This means at least two Democrats would need to join Republicans to override any of the governor's vetoes, a hypothetical that remains, let's just say, unlikely given the stark partisan divide in today's legislature. LeMahieu told reporters Monday that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, had not committed on whether he would call the Assembly for a session to attempt to veto, to attempt veto overrides, and the Senate Majority Leader refused to answer questions from a Cap Times reporter. Why, too liberal, LeMahieu, in the Capitol Tuesday following the Senate floor session, instead walking away. Just walk on by, LeMahieu. Now, the ongoing battle over government funding for PFAS, rural hospitals and education programs, reached a boiling point Monday as Evers announced he was suing the state legislature for obstructing funding. He's suing them for obstructing the funding moving forward. This is a novel concept. The suit itself was filed in the form of a counterclaim from the governor in an already existing lawsuit that the legislature itself filed against Evers earlier this year over a line item veto he included in a bill to fund K-12 literacy. Do you get the gist here, folks? Some of a food fight happening up there at the state capitol. It's Friday, thank God. I think even our legislatures would like to go home. In the 4 o'clock hour, wait for it. We've got the sound of what happened in the Congress. You know, they got together for a little night party. Oh, it was a party. This is the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, always a political party up here. Hope you join it. 844-967-2789. Aaron of the Friday Grievances starts as soon as you dial. Again, 844-96-PARTY.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. And, you know, I realize we air the grievances here on Friday, but I have a commitment. Is that a word? I've said that, right? Haven't I, Rich? Earlier this week, I've been struggling with words, haven't really been very sociable, been on a ladder, but at least I got a solid 6 last night.
It works for me.
When we commend someone, right?
Yes.
It just doesn't mean like commencement, not just the graduation. And again, congratulations to Barron Trump. Happy graduation. I hear his mom was hiding somewhere in the back, but no word on daddy. But I have to commend, and I suspect, possibly, a member of our fine audience. And it's unfortunate that their gardening skills have been discovered. And I just heard Gordy Kopke, our friend. Go see Gordy at the Farmer's Market. It's going to be glorious this weekend in Madison. Go up to the Capitol Square, see Gordy, you know, get some flowers. Never too late to get some flowers for Mama. And, you know, appreciate all the green thumbs up there. As I appreciate this headline at the Journal Sentinel, workers discover cannabis plants amid the tulips growing outside the state capitol. Somebody's caught and found my weed plants growing up here on the state capitol. You know, we're a block away. And I figured that's close. You know, I can keep an eye on them, Rich, but, you know, can still claim some plausible deniability a block away.
You know nothing. Nothing.
Well, I know I'm a little disappointed they found them. Here is it's being reported. Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel. Breaking news! Crudy's weed plants have been found, apparently. Dateline Madison. Capitol workers on Friday removed what appear to be several cannabis plants from a flower bed near the west entrance to the State House. That's our entrance! That's right here, Rich! The State House building that were planted without officials' knowledge. How do you know I didn't tell anyone? Here's more. The Department of Administration spokeswoman, Tatiana Warwick, said the department staff were made aware of the plants in question on the Capitol grounds by a media outlet on Thursday. Who ratted me out, Rich? That's the real question. I got to think it's someone from Righty Whitey Talk Radio. It's got to be Vicky or someone from her crew. Because
it most certainly can't be Dom.
Dom would have just harvested and,
precisely,
and taken them on his way.
Yeah.
We do not have the expertise to confirm whether the plants were cannabis. I assure you, they were. But our facility staff have examined the area and have removed the plants, according to Warwick. Again, she's with the Department of Administration. Now, Shelby Ellison, an assistant professor at the Department of Plant and Agro-Ecosystem Scientists at the UW-Madison, said the plants look purposefully planted in the flower beds that contain mostly tulips, but that it was unclear whether the plants could be used as marijuana without further testing. Well, get me a bong, we'll test away. It is impossible to determine if they were hemp or marijuana without the testing for THC content. You realize that's the same plant, right, people? It's just when they're harvested during the course of the growth process, it's the same plant. It is literally the same plant, but I read on. It is impossible to determine if they were hemp or marijuana without testing for THC content. I do think they were likely intentionally planted just because there were so many of them. I know. I was trying to get through the winter. It gets dry sometimes. Oh, bummer. They found my plants, Rich. So now I'm going to have to find a better location. Other tulips. Didn't Tiny Tim do a song once upon a time? Tiptoe through the tulips. Well, now you know what he was tiptoeing over. My plants. It is a shame this Friday afternoon. Actually, of course, that wasn't me. I've got better places. If I was going to have clandestine plants, I have better places than the Capitol tulips.
And you,
although
have,
that is quite a bold achievement, I would say.
Yeah, you wouldn't have it that close to State Street because somebody would sniff that out, and obviously state workers did.
Well, I'm not sure that state workers did. Wasn't it a media? It says reportedly here, Rich, some media ratted them out. Some narc in the media. And I would point out, got to be a Righty Whitey. But I never actually grew or harvested my own plants. Never. I did try germinating a couple of seeds in college in the closet under like a light bulb. And we could get germination, but that's a difficult process. You have to like support them and have to have some sort of agro-ecosystem knowledge. You have to be the right sort of steward of these tiny little plants. And of course, separate the males from the females, you know, what they do when they get together. So I didn't really have the green thumb for such a thing. And, you know, it was a fun little month-long project in the closet. But my roommate, who eventually shaved his head, joined the army, and left with no return. But Steve took some seeds and he grew them in the closet. And then he took them out to the local quarry. And it grew and it was a nice little plant. And he harvested it. And then he brought it back to college because it had grown in that closet. He felt like he had to share it with his roommates. And I got to admire Steve. It was damn good. You know, like homegrown. But homegrown from the finest of like Afghani seeds. And it definitely had an effect on me. But I never had the courage. I never had the courage to be the guy to go out there and grow my own. And it is, you know, like 45 minutes to Illinois. I should buy some land down there. Could I legally own land in Illinois, grow it cultivate it, harvest it, and I
nary a clue.
As long as you don't cross state lines, that's the whole kicker with the whole federal government. You know, the rescheduling. I'm looking for a rescheduling somewhere in the ag bill. You can grow the hemp, but only if it's properly classified and you harvest it early enough. But ironically, it's the same plant. It's the same plant that was grown in those there tulips till earlier today. You have to. You could probably smoke the tulips. I wouldn't recommend it, but, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. It's Friday. They found my plants. That's my grievance. Come back with us.
One day this fella from Washington come by and spied him and turned white as a sheet. And he dug and he burned and he burned and he dug and he killed all our cute little weeds. And then he drove away. We just smiled and waved, sitting there on that sack of seeds.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Blue. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a beautiful Friday afternoon here in glorious Wisconsin. The glorious part is the weather. It's not always like that. Sometimes damn cold out there, but glorious today. Friday, we air the grievances. A little aggrieved that no one's joined me yet on the airwaves. If I'm working on a Friday, you can have a hot take. 844-967-2789. If the boss is looking, just use the text line. Same number, 844-967-2789. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Some of you just cringed, didn't you? You heard his name. Oh, God, I hate that guy. He has been politifacted effectively. They say he falls short on a claim that Democrats back abortions up to the moment of birth. Does this have to be politifacted? Can't we just call him a liar? Let's just read. Abortion rights have emerged as a key issue as Republicans and Democrats plot strategies for the 2024 election. President Joe Biden and Democrats have focused on the issue as a driver to get voters out to the polls, with VP Kamala Harris campaigning on the reproductive rights in swing states such as Wisconsin. I've been to a few of her events. Meanwhile, some Republicans have been trying to fire up their base, including U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. I hate to say it. You cringed again. Who offered their claim, this claim, in April on the 15th in an interview with the Tony Kinnett Cast podcast. The Tony Kinnett Cast podcast, in case you never heard of it. You can look it up now. Every Senate Democrat has voted to support unlimited abortions up to the moment of birth. Ooh, that seems like a broad statement that you can't back up because you're talking out of your ass, Ron. They ask, is he right? I suspect he's not. Senate House measures are cited, and when we ask for backup, Johnson's spokesperson, Kirsten Pelz, said the senator was making the point that the media will not cover the fact that Democrats are the ones who hold the extreme position on abortion. In terms of evidence, you know that stuff. Evidence, Ron, you got any? Pelz cited two measures. We are using her words here as perspective on how she is interpreting what the measures do. Her words. In 2022, every Senate Democrat, with the exception of Joe Manchin, voted in favor of the Women's Health Protection Act, which would enshrine abortion into law up until the moment of birth and block state laws with protections against late-term abortions. Her words. Again, Rojo Staffer. Here's another. In January 2023, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which would protect infants who survive an attempted abortion by ensuring they receive the same care as any other newborn. every single Republican voted in favor, while every single Democrat voted against it, with the exception of Rep. The guy's under indictment, the guy in Texas, C-U-E-L-L-A-R, Cuellar, it's pronounced oddly, who was exiled for his position, well, that and the indictment. Henry Cuellar, I believe he is. So anyways, back to the politifacting of the Rojo. Let's set aside for a moment whether the measures are accurately described, they are not, and start with a couple of obvious points. First, if Manchin did not vote for the 2022 measure, then it's plainly clear that Johnson's every Democrat phrase is wrong. Is that the biggest problem you got with it? The Joe Manchin? Anyways, second, as evidence of Senate votes, Johnson's team is citing votes from the U.S. House of Representatives. That measure has not even come up to the vote in the Senate, so the senator's evidence is, well, lacking at best. Let's dig deeper, they say. Do the measures do what Johnson claims they do? Here's where it probably breaks down further. The Women's Health Protection Act of 2022, according to the www.congress.gov, the Women's Health Protection Act of 2022, introduced in the Senate May 3rd of 2022, prohibits all government restrictions on access to abortion services. There has been one roll call vote on the bill, and Manchin, the West Virginia Democrat, cast a no vote along with the Republican senators on the measure. The vote was 49 yes and 51 no. Now, Johnson's claims the measure would enshrine abortion into law until the moment of birth and block state laws with protections against late-term abortions. Well, as the PolitiFact people note here, Rich, that's wrong. On the contrary, the measure, which has not become the law, protects the rights to an abortion up until the point of fetal viability, which is roughly reached at 24 weeks of pregnancy. After that point, the legislation protects the right to abortion only when, in the good faith medical judgment of the treating healthcare provider, continuation of the pregnancy would pose a risk to a pregnant patient's life or health. So that's the complete opposite of what you claim it means. A little bit more here. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, according to the Congress.gov summary of the Born Alive Act, the measure establishes requirements for a degree of care a healthcare practitioner must provide in the cases of a child born alive following an abortion or attempted abortion. Specifically, the summary says the healthcare practitioner who is present must exercise the same degree of care as they would reasonably be provided to any other child born alive at the same gestational age, and two, ensure the child is immediately admitted to a hospital. Additionally, a healthcare practitioner or other employee who has knowledge of a failure to comply with the degree of care requirement must immediately report such a failure to law enforcement. Always great when, you know, as part of our healthcare, there are reports to law enforcement, but I continue. A healthcare practitioner who fails to provide a required degree of care, or a healthcare practitioner or any other employee who fails to report such failure, is subject to criminal penalties, a fine up to 5 years in prison, or both, according to the summary. Again, this was the Republican proposed bill, with the only Democrat supporting being Joe Manchin, you know that guy. And the Born Alive measure passed the House January 11, 2023. Again, this is after the Republicans took the House on a 220 to 210 vote, with 219 Republicans saying yes, along with one Democrat. The 210 no's were all Democrats. U.S. Senator Patty Murray, Dem from Washington, President Pro Temp of the U.S. Senate, said Johnson's claim is absurd and an abject falsehood, and that the measure would make something illegal that is already illegal because doctors already have an obligation to provide appropriate medical care. Abortion, this is Murray's quote, abortion up to the moment of birth simply doesn't happen. Abortions later in pregnancy are extraordinarily rare and occur essentially only when a pregnancy is non-viable and the mother risks severe injury or death by remaining pregnant. And as noted, it has not come up for a vote in the Senate, So Johnson is presenting conjecture, not evidence. So down to their ruling, false. False. The statement, every Senate Democrat has voted to support unlimited abortions up to the moment of birth. And I'm not thinking it's false just because Joe Manchin might have voted for one of the bills that, you know, Johnson actually liked. The false is this doesn't happen. Right, Rojo? You know you're lying through your teeth. Well, they're the extremists. Let me make up some lies. But we don't have to lie about the fact that Roe v. Wade has been overturned by the Dobbs decision. We don't have to lie about the fact that an 1849 law went into effect here in the state of Wisconsin. We don't have to lie about the fact that there are Republican partisans pushing for six-week abortion bans, signing them into law. And, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court still hasn't yet ruled on mifepristone. And, you know, given a few more Republican selections to that court, don't be shocked if the Hatch Act bans all transport through the U.S. mails of, you know, contraceptives, things of that nature. But we're the extremists, says Ron Rojo. 844-967-2789. Going to the phones next. Hoosier Bob, you're first. Let me click on you. Hoosier, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, guy, how are you?
Good, man. A little headache, but I'm suffering through.
I have a question that maybe you can answer for me. On interpreting Marjorie Taylor Greene, a couple days ago, she went after Johnson, tried to have him removed.
Speaker Mike Johnson, you're talking about.
Yeah. While she was doing that, she mentioned something about a uniparty. What is a uniparty?
Everybody she doesn't like, she lumps together into uniparty. If you're against Marjorie Taylor Greene, and that's pretty much everyone, then you're in the uniparty.
Can I get a hat?
A hat? A uniparty hat? Well, maybe a unicorn hat. You know, with a...
Oh, cool. Anything.
We don't sell that currently on the... Hoosier Bob, we don't have any unicorn hat swag, but, you know, we do have T-shirts and hoodies and that kind of stuff at devilradioswag.com.
Well, I do have my Devil Radio shirt that you sent me.
Excellent.
Yes, that was the one I got for nominating CJ.
Hoosier Bob, I forget. You get some credit for his winning D-Bag of the Year 2022. Hoosier, appreciate you still listening to the show. And he's still being a D-Bag nearly every day. Sometimes we even take him on the airways. I nearly always regret it. 844-967-2789. Friday is for the grievances. The issue of abortive rights, I mean, I still think it's going to be tremendously impactful. I don't think it's been terribly blunted just because one Dane County judge has ruled that the 1849 ban is really about infanticide, not about abortion. And currently Planned Parenthood is, I believe, providing abortion services in Dane and Milwaukee counties, maybe one other, maybe up in the valley. But that's not the full scale of care, and many women have to travel for that. Here's the last encouraging thing I saw in the news. Janet Protasiewicz won the state of Wisconsin in 2023, and the issue of abortion turned so many different parts of the state of Wisconsin blue. If you look at the elective maps from 2022, from the midterms, I mean, Tony Evers won, but Tony won because Dane County lifted him. And he did well in Milwaukee County, and he did well outstate, but not enough to win many of those different counties. Still a lot of red counties in the state of Wisconsin in 2022. That all changed in 2023 with the Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs. That changed dramatically. Now, I know that came out in June of 2022, that ruling. I'm well aware of the timeline, but it wasn't really Tony's issue. Tim Michaels was, what, anti-abortion? Tony crushed him. But the turnout, the red turnout, it was still predominant in many of the counties in Wisconsin. By 2023, when abortion was the driving issue, I think, on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race for Janet Protasiewicz against Dan Kelly, can't spell Kelly without two L's, it was crushing. That was a beautiful day. Glorious. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Don't have to be mad, but you can call us. You can join us. You can put your hot political takes or otherwise out there on the airwaves. Today is your day. It's your day down here, people, at 844-967-2789. Happy Friday. Welcome to it.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. Oh man, they're all up in arms about the cannabis found growing amid the tulips at the state capitol. Top of the digital page at the Journal Sentinel. Again, mea culpa. I'm sorry you found it. 844-967-2789. You can always join the Devil's Advocates radio show. We try to be fair and balanced around here, not in the way that Fox News was, but, you know, in the fair and balanced way, actually telling the truth. And that's something I can't say for U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Politifacted, false, why not pants on fire? Ron still making the claim that Democrats are down for abortion right up until the moment of birth. What's Trump say? And post-birth abortion, Democrats are for that. And once again, politifacted, not even close. There is a politifact of U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin for Wisconsin about the Affordable Care Act. Tammy made a statement and politifacts checking her out for the veracity of her statement, and we'll take your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Richel, get you lightly screened and salted and peppered and ready in the queue. But as the election day creeps closer, the race between Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and challenger, the mustachioed Eric Hudvey, a Republican businessman, remains closely watched. Now, Hudvey, who's trailing Baldwin slightly among registered voters, I'd say more than slightly, has sought to tie his opponent to President Joe Biden, who has faced tough polling numbers in recent days. Now, here is what Baldwin said. Here's what the politifacting is all about. When I worked on the Affordable Care Act, Baldwin stated, I wrote the amendment that allows all young people to stay on their parents' health insurance until they turn 26. Overnight, millions of young Americans got health care. So Baldwin is touting the accomplishments, and lately that is including the role she played in the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which occurred while she was serving in the U.S. House of Representatives. We just gave you the quote. She also claims that Hudvey, you know, wants to rip up the Affordable Care Act. Why? Because he said stuff like that. So PolitiFact said they'll focus on the first two parts of that statement. Did Baldwin author the amendment, a highly popular part of the overall law, and did the changes take place overnight? Let's take a look. Well, a spokesperson for Baldwin's campaign said, while the members' names do not get attached to the thousands of provisions that make up the big bill, like the Affordable Care Act, the senator, then the congresswoman, was credited with the idea on several occasions, including a February 7th, 2012 letter from the former U.S. Rep. Henry Waxman of California, then the chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, thanking Baldwin for being the committee's leading voice on the issue of young adults having access to health insurance. a statement. I was pleased the amendment you drafted to allow young adults to gain access to their parents' or guardians' health insurance was included in the final House version of the legislation. Now, prior to the inclusion in the House version, Baldwin and three colleagues from Maryland and Pennsylvania were credited with pushing House leadership to make the change. And when the House and Senate versions of the bill were meshed together to create what is the Affordable Care Act, that provision remained, and Baldwin's role is often mentioned amongst her achievements, particularly during her first run for U.S. Senate when she beat Tommy Thompson. I remember that. A little bit more. Now, the overnight part exaggerates, but the change did happen fast. During the second part of Baldwin's claim, did millions of young Americans get health care overnight? The millions part is easy. On June 8, 2012, a report from the Commonwealth Fund estimated that in 2011, 6.6 million young adults ages 19 to 25 stayed on or joined their parents' health plans who would not have been able to do so prior to the provision taking effect. So that's sort of PolitiFact legalese for saying 6.6 million Americans, young people, got to stay on their parents' insurance and they wouldn't have been eligible prior. So I'm going to jump down to the ruling. Mostly true. I would say absolutely true. So compare that just for a moment. Rojo, he lies. Tammy Baldwin, mostly true. Just didn't happen overnight. I think it did. 844-967-2789. Leaving time for you, Jim, from Madison. How you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
It's Friday and happy as can be. And a beautiful day outside.
Gorgeous.
I just want to throw something out there that, like, when you're interviewing somebody and they're telling a big lie and you know it's a big lie, would they be willing to take a lie detector test confirming that they believe what they're saying? Just as, you know, like we're talking about now with Tammy and, you know, Politico and Rojo, you know, just being totally BS. Has anybody ever done that to any of these idiots that are out there?
What, make them... Well, of course, no politician is ever going to sign up for a lie detector test, Jim. And, you know, I don't think Ron Johnson would do so if his life depended on it. I don't know if he's capable of telling the truth. It'd be like Trump giving testimony on Monday and not perjuring himself. Incapable. But I don't know. I mean, you can tell. We've certainly questioned U.S. Senator Ron Johnson when he used to be a relatively frequent guest on the show. But the whole January 6th and the mitigation of what happened at the U.S. Capitol and perhaps his participation and willingness to be a conduit. I mean, of course, all politicians spin, and hell, we've accused Ron of being a liar more than once. But an insurrectionist, when you cross that line, you stop getting invited on the greatest radio show ever. But if you did not commit insurrection or pass fake electors onto the vice president, you're welcome to air your grievances here. A happy hour coming next. More Devil's Advocates. Happy Friday. Welcome to it.